بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. In the name of Allah, the most merciful and the most magnificent, and peace and blessings and salutations upon his prophet and his messenger, Muhammad. By Allah's permission, inshallah, we're going to say a few words about a really important topic in the life of every single Muslim. And today's subject in actuality is a subject that clearly indicates and it shows how in the religion of Al-Islam, the legislation of Al-Islam is there in order to make things easy for the people. And it's not there to make things difficult for the people. In different religions or different aspects of people's religions, sometimes you'll find in other religions how things are made unnecessarily difficult and they're not natural. For an example, if a religion were requesting or commanding the people of that religion not to get married, this is going to be unnatural. It's going to be unnecessarily difficult. Like in Christianity, as an example, the nun, she may take an oath or a vow that she's going to stay in the monastery and never get married, ever. But in the religion of Al-Islam, we know that Allah the Most High, He has created the male and He created the female. And the natural way that they exist is together. And that's why Allah the Most High, He created Adam. And then He created Adam's wife, his partner, Eve. So if someone was trying to practice in their life and they were trying to live a life of celibacy, this is going to be unnecessarily difficult on the person because it is not natural. Another example, and there are many, of how a religion can make things unnecessarily complicated on people is this idea and this concept of peace. Every religion should call the people and encourage the people to live in peace and to be peaceful human beings. But if a religion, for an example, were telling someone that if your enemy came to you and he slapped you on this cheek, then you should give him the other cheek. If the religion told you if someone took your shirt, then you should give him your pants. If he were to take your land, then you should give him your water, the water of your country, for an example. Say this is too difficult. This is not natural. Because the way the human being is, he is naturally going to want to defend himself. He's going to naturally want to defend his loved ones. Naturally, he's going to want to defend his wealth. So the religion of Islam, it did not make things difficult for the people. There are Muslims who make things difficult for themselves because they don't understand the religion. And this is why we're going to tackle this issue and we're going to address this issue. Some people, during the time of the Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, from his companions, some of them made things unnecessarily difficult upon themselves. In a sincere attempt to get close to Allah, with a sincere attempt to try to go to paradise, they made impermissible, haram for themselves, things that Allah made halal for them. For an example, the famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the book of hadith, three men from the companions. They all took an oath amongst themselves. One of them said, I'm going to fast every single day and I'll never break my fast for the rest of my life. The second one said, as for me, I'm going to pray the night prayer and I will never go to sleep at all during the nighttime. A third one came and he said, and me, I'm never going to get married to any woman because I want to stay focused on worshiping Allah. When the Prophet heard about the oath that the three of them made, the Prophet called the people and he said, what is the problem with some people who have taken an oath and they said that they're going to do this and this and this and this? He said this in front of the whole community. He said, as for me, Prophet Muhammad, me, he said, I have the most knowledge of all of you. I have the most fear of Allah more than everyone. And I have the most consciousness more than everyone. And yet, I pray and I go to sleep. I fast and I break my fast. And I get married as well. So anyone who forsakes my way, my path, then he's not from me. Meaning, if a person is insisting to do these three things that were mentioned, then you're not following the religion that I brought. Some of the companions, they came to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and in an attempt to show their sincerity, and they wanted to show their commitment to Allah, they asked for permission. They said, "Oh, Prophet Muhammad, oh, Prophet, give us permission to castrate ourselves, castrate ourselves." The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "This is not our religion. This is not our religion." So I just give you those examples as a few of the many examples that go to show that the religion of Al-Islam, it makes things easy for the people. So if an individual is making things difficult for himself unnecessarily, then he can't blame the religion for that. If a non-Muslim were to be on the outside and he was looking on the inside and he was looking how Muslims were behaving and he saw that the Muslims were unnecessarily making things difficult for themselves, then that is just the situation that they are doing that to themselves. And Allah, he doesn't want that from them. So there are a number of examples that I'm going to give you from the Quran and from the authentic hadith, the authentic sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. And they are many. I'm just going to give you a few in addition to what I shared with you already. But before sharing that, inshallah, by Allah's permission, we just want to say very quickly that this issue of the ease of Al-Islam, it is directly connected to who Allah is. In our religion, all praise is due to Allah, the Muslim has not been left to try to figure things out for himself. For an example, who is Allah? What does he do? What does he not do? Where is he? Where is he not? This has not been left up to the imagination of the human being. Instead, Allah, out of his mercy, he revealed this Quran. And he explained in this Quran everything we need to know about him. And the Prophet, peace be upon him also, he brought his authentic sunnah, his words, and everything connected to his words, and they clearly indicate and inform us who Allah is. So a person doesn't have to sit twiddling his fingers like this, trying to figure things out. I used to be a Christian. When I was a Christian, and my mother and my father, they're Christians right now. If you were to ask my mother, or if you were to ask me when I was a Christian, what is your idea about God? What does God look like? You close your eyes and imagine. Draw a picture of God for me. Because of the images and the pictures that were in the church, because of the images and the pictures that were in the Bible that we had, the images and pictures that are prevalent in the society that we had, if I close my eyes, I would say, God, he is like a white man, you know, a pale face, white skin. He has blonde hair. He has blue eyes. And he's sitting on a big chair and he's rocking his feet back and forth. Because those were the images. Now, if you were to ask the people who believe God looks like this, if you said, where did that come from? They're not going to say it came from the book. That came as a result of people making something up. Islam is not like that. It doesn't give the Muslim the liberty or any human being to come forward and to say something about Allah that Allah didn't reveal in his book. And this is really important that you people need to understand, all of us as Muslims, we do not have the liberty in Al-Islam. You have the liberty, cook your curry however you want to cook your curry. You can eat whatever bread you want to eat, however you want to eat it. No problem. You have the liberty to take your room in your house. Go ahead and you can make it how you want. Put your TV on the wall, get a plasma TV, Sony, whatever you want. But when it comes to the religion, especially things connected to aqidah or theology, there's no liberty. It's restricted. As far as the dunya, the life that we're living in, is easy, it's open. You want to drink this water from this company? No problem. You want to drink Pepsi Cola? No problem. You want Mountain Dew? No problem. But when it comes to the religion of Islam, there's a problem. Don't do anything and don't say anything until you have proof from the Quran and the Sunnah. So who is Allah? Who did Allah say he was in the Quran? Allah has many names and many attributes. From his name is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. He is the most merciful. He is benevolent. He is Al-Halim, Al-Halim, which means he is gentle. Allah is gentle. One of the names of Allah is Al-Latif. Al-Latif. Al-Latif means that Allah is caring. Caring. And many of these attributes, they come out to us and they are manifested when we look at the legislation of Al-Islam. I'll give you an example. Allah is merciful. Allah is generous. Allah is gentle. An example of that is the legislation of divorce. Divorce. In Al-Islam, the man, he lives with his wife, and there may be misunderstandings that happen between them for many reasons, many reasons. Lack of compatibility. One of the two partners is a difficult individual to get along with. Just many reasons. So when they come together, they may struggle to try to sustain a relationship. In Al-Islam, the man has three opportunities to divorce his wife before the divorce is final. Allah could have just made it one. Just one. The first time the man says, "You're divorced," to his wife, khalas, finish. She goes her way, he goes his way. But maybe he was very upset. Both of them were upset. Something happened. He said, "You're divorced." She has to do a waiting period. What's called an iddah, waiting period. While she's waiting those 3 months, she waits for three cycles, three menses, three periods. While she's waiting for those 60, 70, 80 days, she's going to be in the same house with her husband. She's divorced, but he has the option to take her back. And usually they're going to come back together because the anger is going to subside, and then they'll come together, and then they're going to be people who will resume their lives. That's an example of Allah's wisdom. He is Al-Hakim. He is wise. He is gentle. He is merciful, because he could have just made it one. That's the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we would not know that Allah was the most generous, that Allah was the most merciful, that Allah was the one who was gentle. We wouldn't know those things if we didn't take a look at some of these legislative issues. So this issue that we're dealing with today, the ease of Al-Islam, it clearly shows and indicates and brings to the forefront these names and attributes of Allah. Now, I just want to share with you, brothers and sisters, some of the many verses of the Quran that show Allah wants ease for everyone here. Now, this is not just a talk and a presentation that I'm giving you to just pass the time away. This is a talk, a presentation that I'm advising you. I'm reminding you. I'm informing you that the religion is easy, so you don't make it difficult on yourself. When I came into Islam, the people that I met a lot of people who made Islam easy, very difficult, extremely difficult upon themselves and upon others. I'll give an example. I know a person, he became a Muslim, he's a revert, and he was still living at home with his relatives, his mother, his father. They had a dog, a black dog even. And we know in our religion, the Prophet said that the black dog was a shaitan, was a devil. He's living with his parents. They had pictures all over the place, photos, images of the family members. When he became a Muslim, he found it increasingly difficult to live in the house because people were smoking in the house. People were drinking sharab or intoxicants in the house. People had boyfriends and girlfriends coming in and out of the house. The dog is all over the place and he doesn't want the dog to touch him. So what did the guy do? He went after about 2 months of struggling and having conflict and confrontation. He took the family dog that had been living with them for 10 years. He went to the park, in the local park, and he let the dog out and the dog ran away. When the people found out he let their dog go, the mother and the father looked at the dog as if the dog was a member of the family. They became irate and upset. They told him, "If you continue on this path, you're going to have to go because we can't tolerate this religion of yours." Islam never told him to throw that dog away. Islam never told him that. Yes, the dog in Al-Islam is something that we shouldn't live with like that inside of the house. But since the individual has no other alternative, that's where he lives, he just has to bite the bullet, eat humble pie. He has to buy his time. He has to stay in that situation until Allah makes a way out for him. Like Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad was in Mecca. That's where he was born and he was raised. And that's where he first began his call to Islam. In Mecca. The Kaaba that we go around seven times. Everyone here has seen images and pictures of the Kaaba. the non-Muslims of Quraysh, the tribe Quraysh of Mecca, at the Kaaba, they had all kinds of idols inside of the Kaaba. Idols. They drew pictures of the prophet Abraham. They drew pictures of Abraham making shirk, doing polytheism. And yet, because it was a hostile environment, the prophet was weak. He never, ever did anything to change the idols in the Kaaba. He just left it there because he didn't have the ability. He didn't have the ability. He was weak. He had only a few followers, and they were not in the position to do anything about the hostility and the environment that they were in. If that guy who lived with his parents and the dog understood that, he wouldn't have taken the dog and taken and put him in the park. After taking the dog and leaving him in the park, he did another criminality, did another crime towards the family. When everybody went out, he went and he took all of the pictures, the photos of the grandmother, the grandfather, the photos of all of the children. He took all of the photos, took them outside, smashed them up, and threw them in the bin. When the parents and the family came and they saw what happened, they said, "This is it." They didn't say you. They said, "You and your Islam, it's too difficult." And they kicked the guy out of the house. So the point here is, if he just knew and he understood, if we all knew and we understood, al-Islam came to make things easy for us, we would know how to navigate ourselves in these different challenges. So let us take a look at some of these verses of the Quran. And they are many. Allah said in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah does not burden a soul, a person, beyond its ability. That's in the second surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter of the cow. It's at the end of the second surah, the second chapter. Allah does not burden a soul beyond its scope. What does it mean? It means you people in the audience right now, you have been tested in that you have your condition that you know what it is. Allah didn't make it obligatory upon you to do what is not humanly possible for you to do. An individual who, when he wants to pray, he doesn't have any legs. Islam allows him to pray sitting down. If he can't pray sitting down, Islam allows him to pray lying down. He does it in a way that he has the ability to do it. We all have to perform Hajj. Every sane adult Muslim, it is an obligation that he or she performs Hajj at least once in their life. You don't have the money, you don't have to perform Hajj. You're a woman, you need to go to Hajj with a mahram, a male from your family, a relative who's going to be responsible for you. Even if you owned £1 billion, you have £1 billion. If you don't have a mahram, you don't ever have to go to Hajj because it's beyond your ability. It's beyond your scope. That's just one of the examples. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is an obligation. It's an obligation. But if an individual is too old, they don't have to fast. If an individual is traveling and fasting is going to bring upon him unnecessary difficulty, he doesn't have to fast. So that's one of many verses in the Quran. Another verse in the Quran, Allah said, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants to make things easy for you, and he doesn't want to make things difficult for you. That is a verse that speaks directly to the issue. I don't understand how any Muslim man or woman who is sane can see a verse that says Allah wants ease for you and he doesn't want difficulty for you. And then the person comes into the religion and he makes things difficult for them. You want an example of how things have been made difficult? I'll give you an example. You sisters who are in the audience, you're wearing hijab. And you know that in Islam, once the woman becomes of age, she starts to develop, she has to wear hijab. The Muslim woman, she becomes pregnant. So usually when she goes during the 9-month period to be seen by the medical people, she's usually dealing with women, midwife, her doctor may be a woman. So now when it's time for her to deliver the baby, the baby can come at any time. The baby decides, I want to come out right now. This is my time. I'm coming out right now. So the husband rushes the mother to the hospital. And the only doctor that is on duty is a male doctor. Now, as a married man, I'm speaking as a married man, it's very sensitive for any man to see the private area of my wife or my daughter. That's sensitive. But my wife is about to deliver a child. If I went to that hospital and I started getting upset and I started telling the people, hey, I don't want any man to touch my wife, I don't want any man to see my wife, you're making the religion difficult on yourself. This is not our religion. You're making the religion and you're making life difficult. You are about to complicate things to a degree and a level that's not even necessary for your wife and possibly for your child. So in issues like this, when a Muslim understands this verse that we just mentioned, the verse said, Allah wants things easy for you and He doesn't want to make things difficult for you. It is applicable in situations like this, in these types of situations. Another example from the many verses of the Quran is that Allah mentioned, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ أَن يُخَفِّفَ عَنْكُمْ وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Allah wants to make things light for you. تَخْفِيف in Arabic. Allah wants to make things light for you because mankind, they have been created weak. The nature of mankind, all of us, is that we're weak. In this place, Salatul Maghrib, the Maghrib prayer, the sunset prayer is going to come in pretty soon. If there's only hot water in this facility, if there's only cold water to make wudu, we're going to make ablution with cold water, and it's cold outside, I'm Abu Usama, I'm weak. I don't want any cold water to touch my body. I don't want it. I don't like it. So in our religion, this is the way it is. If I go to put the cold water on, I don't like that. Most people are like that. Allah knows how He created everyone. He created mankind weak. Most people find it difficult to get up for the early morning prayer. Why? Because he's weak. He wants to stay asleep, so he doesn't do it, or he struggles to do it. So because Allah knows how He created human beings, He made their load and carrying their load light. That's the third verse. Allah wants to lighten your load for you, to lighten your burden for you. Another verse of the Quran. Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Allah has not made anything difficult for you in your religion. This is the religion of your father, Ibrahim. Ibrahim, the prophet of Islam who came a long time ago. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a direct descendant from Ibrahim. Ibrahim had a son, his name was Ismail. Prophet Muhammad came from the lineage of Ismail. So his religion is the same religion as us, except there are some added things that we do that maybe the people before us, they didn't do. But the ayah, the verse of the Quran, it said, Allah has not made things difficult for you in this religion. This is the deen, the religion of your father, Ibrahim. The last verse that I want to mention, and they are many because the Quran is replete with many of these verses. The last one that I'll mention right now, though, is the statement that Allah said in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. To the best of your ability. So again, this is the mercy of Allah. This is the ease of Al-Islam. And what's the ease? The ease is when we want to pray, for an example, we want to pray. There's an individual who can pray and he can stand up and he can pray the morning prayer. And he can read maybe 100 verses, 100. But that's what he can do. That's his ability. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. That's his ability. Prophet Muhammad, he used to read 200 verses of the Quran in one prayer. He would stand up and he would read 200 verses. And then he would say, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And he would bend down and he would make rukur, go in the bending position. The amount of time that it took him to read 200 verses, he would stay in the bending, bowing position for the same amount of time. And then he would come up. And then he would go down in prostration on the floor, on the ground. The amount of time that it took him to read the 200 verses, the amount of time that it took him to bow down, he would stay in prostration for that amount of time. Now, that's his ability. Is that your ability? Is that my ability? That's not our ability. I'm only going to read 10 verses. You're going to read 12. This one is going to read 3. And that one over there is going to be 20. But Allah did not say, hey, everyone has to read 200 verses. Everyone has to stay in prostration for the amount of time that you read for those 200 verses. So the verse said, fear Allah to the best of your ability. And your ability may not be my ability. And this is a very important lesson. Very important. Never allow yourself to be judgmental towards other people. Never allow yourself. As you can see, these are the clothes that I always wear. I always wear clothes like this all the time. But this guy over here, Ahmed, he wears the clothes that the people are used to here, shirt and a tie and a jacket. I can never superimpose my ability on him. I can never say to him, hey, Ahmed, why you don't dress like me all the time? Because his job doesn't allow him. His environment doesn't allow him. He's fearing Allah to the best of his ability, and I'm fearing Allah to the best of my ability, and we come together and we cooperate with each other, but we should never be judgmental towards other people. Now, that doesn't mean when we know someone is falling short of the mark and he's not doing what they're supposed to be doing, that we don't say anything. There is a lady, for an example, the woman has to wear hijab. She has to wear hijab. This lady, she doesn't wear proper hijab. She has no hijab at all. We're going to advise her in a nice way. Hey, you should wear hijab because Allah said it and it's part of you being a Muslim and so forth and so on. But my point here is never, ever, ever come across as being a person who's judgmental. Hey, I'm doing it, so you should do it. Allah said in the Quran, fear Allah to the best of your ability. He didn't make you the watcher over this lady or this man. The only people that we are responsible for to that degree are people who are under our supervision and our authority. Our children, for an example. Some youngster that you're responsible for. As for the hadith of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, his sunnah, there are too many examples of how he showed us the religion was made easy. Too many examples. I'll start off by giving you the example of when he used to go to the masjid to pray. When he went into the masjid to pray congregation prayer, he would start to make the prayer. He would start to pray. And the women during his time used to attend the prayer in his masjid. And there are too many proofs for that. Unfortunately, Muslims are very cultural, so they don't even allow women into the masjid today. And that's why I know the deaf community, you guys have a lot of challenges. You have to be patient. You have to be patient. You're going to have limitations because of your situation. You're going to have limitations due to the fact that Muslims themselves are behind the curve. We're behind. If the normal, regular woman and our children are being confronted with all kinds of challenges as a result of culture, then clearly people who have special needs, they're going to suffer more than everyone else. But anyway, during the time of Prophet Muhammad, he started to pray in congregation. He wanted to read the Quran relatively long, but he heard a child crying in the background. The mother was holding the child, so the Prophet heard the child crying. So he knew that the crying of the child is going to disrupt the mother's concentration. And the child doesn't deserve that. So the Prophet shortened the prayer and he hurried up. He sped through the prayer just so that he can make things easy for the child and the mother. After the prayer, he turned around to the people and he said, I wanted to extend the prayer. But when I heard the baby crying, the child crying, I shortened the prayer. I shortened it to have mercy upon the baby and to have mercy upon the mother. Another example of that is whenever Prophet Muhammad wanted to send one of his companions out in order to call people to Islam, he would give him some instruction and some advice. He would say to the man who was going to go to another group of people, their country, their village, to call them to Islam, the Prophet would say to his messenger, Yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Bashiru wa la tanaffiru. Make things easy for them and don't make things difficult. Give them glad tidings and don't run them away. Give them glad tidings. Tell them things like, Whoever says there's no God worthy of worship but Allah will go to Jannah. Make them feel happy about what you're trying to call them to. Don't come when you're giving people a call to Islam and tell them all of the things in Islam that a person at the beginning may have a problem with. Don't come to the person and say, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can't wear this, you can't wear that, you can't do this, you can't. Don't do that, because you'll overwhelm the person. Let him first understand the simple teachings of Islam. So the fact that he would prepare his messenger to send them out to the people with that advice shows this religion makes things easy for people. He told them again, go to the people, make things easy and don't make things difficult. Give glad tidings and don't run the people away. How do you run people away? Something happened with one of his companions. He had a companion, his name was Mu'adh. He was a tremendously gifted man, knowledgeable. He used to pray behind Prophet Muhammad in Prophet Muhammad's masjid. It was the last prayer of the day, Al-Isha, the last prayer. This man would pray behind Prophet Muhammad. And then after praying the last prayer behind Prophet Muhammad, he would go to his local masjid where he was the leader of the salat. He was the one who led the people in salat. So when he prayed with Prophet Muhammad, his congregation were waiting for him to finish, to come. After he finished praying behind Prophet Muhammad, he went to his congregation and he started praying with them. They're behind him. When he started praying, he read the second chapter of the Quran. It's the longest chapter, 182 verses. It's long. Baqarah, the cow. He started reading it, and it's long. Now you have to keep in mind, it's the last prayer of the day. They were waiting for him to pray here. Now he comes over there to their masjid, and he starts to read this particular verse. One of the men that was in his congregation, he got upset, and he got out of the line. He left the congregation. He went over in the corner, and he prayed by himself. After praying by himself, he left. The people told Mu'adh, the leader who was praying, the people told him, hey, that man, he went by himself and he left. Mu'adh said, he's a hypocrite. A hypocrite, a munafiq, a hypocrite. He's not a real Muslim if he did something like that. He passed judgment on the man. So he went to Prophet Muhammad the next day and he told Prophet Muhammad, we were praying in congregation and this hypocrite went on the side, he broke away and he left. Prophet Muhammad said, bring the man. Bring the man. When the man came to him, he said, what happened? Now I have to stop here because this is important, guys. I'm using this to show you Islam is easy, but there's a very important point that we have to mention right here. Prophet Muhammad would never judge between people until he heard both sides of the story. That's why he said, bring the man. And he asked the man, what happened? The way we are, this is my friend. So if he told me, I just saw it happened because he told me. My friend, my sister, she told me. I have a daughter. She's married to her husband. Something happens between them. My daughter calls me and she says, father, this happened. I become angry because that's what she said. What about her husband's side of the story? I can't judge in this situation or take a position until I heard both sides of the story. So anyway, the prophet said, what happened? The man said, oh, Prophet Muhammad, you know, I work all day in the desert and then I come back at night and I'm waiting in the masjid here for this man to finish prayer with you. And then when he came over here after waiting, it's the last prayer, we waited. When he came, he started reading this long verse and I'm tired. I was in the desert all day long. So I was tired. So I went by myself, I prayed and I left. They said that the prophet's face became red with anger. And he said to Mu'adh, he said, Mu'adh, are you running the people away? Are you running the people away? Are you running the people away? He said, if any of you lead the people in prayer, if you lead them, the people in prayer, then make it light, make it easy. Because behind you are the old people. Behind you are the people who are sick. Behind you are the people who have something to do. So that's an example from the hadith and the life of Prophet Muhammad, his sunnah, his hadith that show he came to make things easy for the people. Look at this other incident. And they're just too many. He came and he was with his companions and he looked and there was a man over there standing. He was standing up in the sun. Prophet Muhammad said to the people, who is that man? They said, he's Abu Israel. They told him his name. Now, if the Prophet knew everything, some Muslims believe that the Prophet knows everything. Only Allah knows everything. Right now, we all have something in our pocket. We all have how much money you have. You know, Allah knows everything. Prophet Muhammad doesn't know everything. No human being knows everything. Only Allah knows everything. The angels don't know everything. Only Allah. If the Prophet knew everything, as some Muslims believe, he would have never asked, who is that man? Who is he? He would have known. Anyway, he said, who is that man? They told him his name. He said, why is he standing over there in the sun like that? How many of you have a question? How many of you have been to Mecca, Medina? How many of you have been to Arabia? How many of you? Put your hands up if you've been to Mecca or Medina. Only two. May Allah help you to go to Mecca and Medina soon, inshallah. It is hot over there. Hot. Hotter than Pakistan, hotter than India. It is hot. That man was standing in the sun. Prophet Muhammad said, why? They say he took an oath. He wants to please Allah. He took an oath that he's going to stand in the sun, that he won't sit down, that he won't speak to anyone, and that he's going to fast all day. He took an oath that he's going to stand in the sun, he won't sit down, he won't speak to anyone, and he's going to fast all day. The Prophet told them, tell that man to get in the shade and tell him to sit down. And tell him to speak and let him continue his fast. The fasting is from Islam. As for standing in the sun, that's not from our religion. Gonna stand in the sun just to stand in the sun. As for not speaking, where is that in our religion? If a person sees you and they give you the Islamic greeting, peace unto you, you have to respond back. If you see someone, something is about to happen, he's gonna get harmed, it's your religious duty and obligation to say, hey, don't do that, watch this. How are you going to take an oath not to say anything? To say to someone who you love, I love you. They say to you, I love you. And you took an oath and you don't say anything back. It's not our religion. So here the Prophet, peace be upon him, he had mercy on that man. And he told the man, and he told us as well, don't do things like this. I went to India a few times. Last time that I was in India, I saw a guy, he was barely dressed. And he was standing and his arm was distorted. Instead of the elbow going like that, it was inverted. It went in like this. And he had long nails. His hair was disheveled. I asked the people, who is that guy? They said, he's a Hindu monk. He's taken an oath for 3 years to keep his arm up in the air. 3 years. When I saw him, he reached 2 years and a few months. And it caused his arm to go, you know, inverted, become deformed. And his nails were... The question now is, does God want that from you? Does God want that from the individual? How does that make a person more pious to do that to themselves? When I first became a Muslim, my mother, she was watching the news in America. And on the news, she saw some Muslims from Iran. On the 10th day of Muharram, Muharram is the first month of the Muslim calendar. On the 10th day of Muharram, that day is called Ashura. That's the day that Prophet Muhammad's grandson, Hussein, was killed. So the people, what do? From that area, Iran, Iraq, some people in Pakistan, what do? On that day, they take chains and they put razors on that chain, razor blades. They take swords. And they hit themselves on the back. They take the knife and they hit themselves on the head. And blood is all over. It's a bloodbath. And what they say is, we are doing this to show our sincerity and our love for Allah. That if we were there with Hussein, we would have defended him. When my mother saw that on the news, she's a non-Muslim, she saw that. And I came home, she looked disturbed. She said to me, what kind of religion are you into? Is this your religion? She recorded it. I saw it. I told her, hey, Ma, this is not our religion. These are the Muslims doing that. Now, I could show you some things maybe while we're here right now on the YouTube where one guy did this thing and he hit himself on the back and he split the meat open from his. It's an unbelievable visual. If you see it, everyone here, when you see it, you're going to say, Ya Allah, oh Allah. Is that what Allah is asking us to do? Allah, the Prophet didn't allow that man to stand up over there. How is he going to allow somebody to do all of that nonsense? So the religion came to make things easy. I'm going to close this out right now because it's Maghrib time. And again, this is the ease of Islam. Maghrib has been in maybe about 5-10 minutes. We don't have to disconnect everything and just run and pray. There's a window of opportunity we can pray. Just don't let it get real close to the time that Maghrib goes out. Relax. Take it easy. The one who is rough and tough, he's going to jump up in the middle of the lecture and say, hey, it's Maghrib. Let's go and pray. We say, hey, relax. Pump your brakes. Slow down. When you're dealing in society with other people, Islam wants the thing to be easy for you. And you have the ability to navigate through these issues in public, in private, provided you know what you're doing. Last example that I want to give is the example of the day of the Eid. Everyone knows that the day of the Eid is a day of celebration. It's a day of celebration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, his companions, they were celebrating the Eid, and there were some people in his masjid, and they were playing with spears. They were doing a traditional dance from their people. They were from Ethiopia, Abyssinia. They were Muslims, and they were in his masjid dancing with their spears, dancing. It was a sign of their skills with the spears. And the Prophet was watching. His companions were watching. They were being entertained. So there's entertainment in Islam. Some Muslims feel and think, no entertainment. You just have to be in a straight jacket like that. You can't smile. You can't be happy. You can't have any romance. Just rough and tough. No. The Prophet was watching, being entertained. And his wife, Aisha, she was very young. She had her chin on his shoulder and she was watching. And the Prophet would say to her, have you had enough? Because he wants to go. Have you had enough? She would say, no, I want to keep watching. I want to keep watching. And then he would ask again, did you have enough? She'd say, no, I want to keep watching. And then finally she said, I had enough. She said later on, the only reason why I kept saying I didn't have enough is that I wanted his other wives to see how much he cares about me. I wanted to show them, hey, I'm here and it's okay. When they asked the Prophet, Ya Prophet Muhammad, you're letting your wife, and she's so young, you're letting her watch the men and this and that. Why are we doing that? He said, a famous statement of his, لِتَعْلَمَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَىٰ إِنَّ دِينَنَا حَنَفِيَةٌ سَمْحَىٰ. He said, so that the Jews and the Christians will know that we have a religion that makes things easy. We have a religion where we celebrate, where we have fun, where we have laughter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was drinking water. He was drinking water. Before drinking the water, he put some water in a cup. He gave it to his wife, Aisha. She drank the water and she saved some for him. When he took it back, he turned the cup to the place where her lips were and he put his lips where her lips were in the cup and he drank it. When she saw that, it sent a message to her, he loves me. He's easy. He's not like the husband sometimes today, the way the husband is the right wife. Very tough. Very tough. Maybe the husband will get the water. He'll drink it all up and put the cup down. No problem. He just dug you get your own water. That's how it is. Prophet Muhammad wasn't like that. He was easy and he was a gentleman. So we're going to stop here, inshallah, Allah willing. And then we'll make the Maghrib prayer. And then after that, we'll come back and we'll do another quick session. And may Allah have mercy upon us and you.